the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Glad you're here. It's the passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. Weekly, it's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. And I'm Joe Galewski. Thanks for listening today. Bridget's here today, too, to reach Dr. Mike on the phone. 877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com is the email address, youdocs@gmail.com. Give us a try on iHeartRadio Talk. This is a terrific way to get customized information based on your wants and your needs. If you're into medical information, great information that we provide every week at Radio MD, and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio. It's a special news and update section station you can customize. You can download the app. You can go on the web. When you go to the web, click Talk in the main menu, and then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And there you are on iHeartRadio Talk, just reaching more and more people all the time with this wonderful show every week, You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike. At 20 minutes after the hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg will check in to talk about toxic things, not toxic things. How clean is too clean? Is there an environmental fingerprint on endometriosis? And he'll talk about, among other things, some of the most polluted cities in the country. That's Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 minutes after the hour.
And what you should do if you live in one of those most polluted cities. And I also want to hear about the radiation from Fukushima that's now getting to the West Coast, or what's going to happen if there's enough to make a difference. And maybe we won't get to it this week, Joe, but we should definitely get to it next week with Gary, because I'll bet he knows more about this subject than just about anyone.
Yeah, probably does, but it's your show. You control the shots. If you want to ask about that, he can probably do that. It's a good story to begin with. And how about at 35 minutes after the hour, straight talk from the docs, you and Dr. Arthur Perry?
Right, and Dr. Arthur Perry, I thought I had a great tweet on this, by the way. You can follow us at... What's the Twitter handle, Bridget? At Dr. Mike Roizen?
Dr. Mike Roizen.
Dr. Mike Roizen. Anyway, the tweet I put out was on Heidi Montag. The Heidi Montag saga is bigger, better. Dr. Arthur Perry's YouBeauty.com segment. And the other segment he's going to talk about is skin creams and pregnancy. Are skin creams safe during pregnancy? Which also fits with one of what Gary Ginsberg is talking about, which is glycol ethers in cosmetics are linked to difficulty in getting pregnant in the first place. Arthur's going to talk about when you get pregnant.
Can I ask who Heidi Montag is? Does Molly sound dumb if I ask
that? You're going to have to tune in, Joe.
You seriously don't know?
No, I don't. I don't. Give me a hint.
Heidi Montag kept getting bigger, more and more breast tissue through plastic surgery.
Okay. Well, and, is she an actress or something?
What?
She an actress?
She was on The Hills, and then she had her own show after that.
Okay.
And she's disfigured herself, so to speak, with greater and greater amounts of plastic surgery. But we'll talk to Arthur Perry. Because she obviously made a career of it for a while.
Okay. All right. That'll be straight talk from the docs at 35 after the hour. I read an article earlier this week for some girls are reaching puberty by 9 years old. Is that right?
Oh, in fact, it's earlier than that.
Oh, my.
Bridget is smiling so much now. It's like she loves this story. But, in fact, the story is that... I think it is, there is obesity, which obviously stores hormones in the fat. It correlates directly with the early onset of puberty. And as I remember the story, there were, it was a large percentage. I'm going to find the exact story so I don't misquote it. Here it is. And black girls were getting... The median age of puberty was now 8 years and 10 months. In Caucasian girls, it's around 9 years and 8 months, and it is 9.3 years for Hispanic girls, 9.7 for Asian girls, and it correlates directly with the percentage of obesity in those populations. It is the obese girls that are getting puberty earlier, and it is thought related to hormone storage.
Really? So it's obesity. The connection is hormones. Obesity has an effect on hormones?
Well, obesity is, it is in fat cells where you store the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And so because you're storing them there, you tend to have a higher blood level because of that.
And they measured the puberty onset by their breast development, which also would make sense that that would be associated with having a higher BMI.
Yeah.
Earlier breast development.
What's the typical age for that to happen for the girl? 11 years old, 12 years old?
12.6 was what it was in 1965.
Mm.
Really? How do you know that?
Because we've had it on the show before.
Well, you know everything, too. That's crazy.
Okay. But just, a handle on obesity would fix this? Help fix
it's
this?
Probably, you know, that's a great handle to go into one of the other stories that what I thought was the number one story.
Yeah, I saw that.
Excuse me. 10% of Americans now have arthritis that limits their activity, and that is directly caused by obesity. Losing weight cures that and prevents them from getting a limitation. So both of these things are related to, if you will, too many snack wells. Or fast food meals, Joe.
Now, that wasn't the story. I thought you were going to go to the story about reducing belly fat. I thought that was a connecting story.
And it is a connecting story.
Yeah.
So there's another story on obesity. America is obviously getting fat, and we've exported our obesity to the rest of the world. You know, in China, I think I've told you this before. When I first went there in 1998, the airplanes, the domestic airplanes, had seats that were 28 inches between them. And now they've gradually increased to the now 33 inches, which is the same as on the U.S. airlines, the distance between the seats. So that, and that's just because of expanding waistlines. So we've exported all over. The story on this one is that when people lost weight, they decreased their kidneys' protein excretion, which is a sign of early kidney disease, and they also decreased phosphorus excretion. So those two things seem to be correlated with losing weight and improving kidney function.
And just from after they looked at it 6 months later, and just from a 4.2 centimeter decrease in belly fat, that was linked to a 25% reduction in protein found in the urine. And I did my past dietetic rotation at a dialysis center, so I found this story particularly interesting, because when you look at these dialysis patients who have one kidney at least that has failed, it costs $15,000 a week for them to go in and get their treatment. So when you look at preventing something like this by losing some weight and...
Maybe $15,000 a year. Can't be a week.
Can't be a week.
Yeah.
You think it's a week?
But anyway, it might be a month.
Maybe it was for all of the patients at the center that I was at.
At all the center. But it is expensive, nevertheless. But it's personally expensive as well. And the great
news... And your quality of life is so decreased. These people spend half their day at dialysis 3 times a week.
Mm. And the great news is losing some weight or preventing its buildup can help with that, as well as avoiding arthritis, as well as avoiding early puberty, Joe.
You're about that fellow this week that's obese and he was flying someplace on an airline and they made him buy 2 seats, but the 2 seats were in different places. one seat was in row 17, and the other seat was in row 34. So I don't know how they worked that. True story. I didn't make that up. All right, coming up after the break, what's toxic and what's not? Dr. Gary Ginsberg checks in with some great stories that he's got some fantastic observations too. So stay with us for that. And thanks for listening. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Yeah. Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, big thanks to UBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins for support of you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Dr. Gary Ginsberg at this time every week, what's toxic and what's not? And what do you like this week from Dr. G, Dr. Mike?
Well, I like the story on cosmetics. So he's going to talk to me about cosmetics and the glycol ether in cosmetics and what it does to skin.
Yeah, well, One of my mantras is that whatever you're going to put on your skin, it's going to stay there for more than 5 or 10 minutes. But if you intend to wear that lotion or that deodorant or that cosmetic all day, or, you know, until, you know, bedtime, you really want to make sure that that is as pure and wholesome and free of toxins as possible. In comparison to a shampoo, perhaps, it's just going to wash off. But I am going to talk about triclosan in a minute, which is a whole other thing. But anyway, so what they're finding in this particular study is that the glycol ether ingredients, and these are they're used in soaps. They're like surfactants. They help mix different ingredients together. And the glycol ethers were known to be reproductive hazards in Silicon Valley. They were used heavily to clean the parts that went into computers. The workers had reproductive problems and difficulty conceiving, women especially. So this study realized, these authors realized, that there were glycol ethers in cosmetics. And so they decided to look at the urinary levels of the glycol ether metabolites as an indication of how much glycol ether somebody's getting exposed to. It was correlated in women. It was correlated with how much cosmetics they wore. So sure enough, your exposure to glycol ethers could come from cleaning products, could come from any number of things. But for a woman, her major exposure was if she wore cosmetics, okay? And the association was further shown that it took her longer to get pregnant. So in those women who were trying to get pregnant, it was statistically significantly longer, harder to get pregnant. She was a little less fertile the more glycol ether metabolite was found in her urine. So I guess one could say, hey, if you don't want to take the pill and you want to avoid pregnancy, just wear a lot of cosmetics. But I, as a toxicologist, I can't endorse that. You know, we don't want to have uncontrolled use of chemicals that, you know, you want these chemicals for a specific purpose. You don't want to just put them on your skin and hope they do what you're intending. And if you do want to get pregnant, the less cosmetics, the better. And we say that for a different reason as well. That's because a lot of cosmetics have fragrance and phthalate in it, which can also get across the placenta and affect baby boy development in particular. So if you are going to wear cosmetics, look for the really good, wholesome kinds that don't have phthalates, don't have glycol ethers, are very plain, basic, but still beautifying.
Are they more expensive? I don't know anything about cosmetics, but are they?
Yeah, you know, some of the natural food stores, they are on the lookout for some of these brands that that are trying to do the better job.
Well, you'll have to get Dr. Perry's. Go to drperrys.com because he has these without either phthalates or glycol ethers in it. Let's talk about the most polluted cities in the United States and what to do if you live in one of them.
All right. Well, as I read off some of these cities, people will be relieved if they're not living in it. So this is good news, bad news. But the bad news is for people in California, because 8 out of the top 10 most polluted, and we're talking about air pollution now, cities in the country are in California. L.A. is not number one. I bet at one time it was, but now it's number four. The number one is Bakersfield, tied with Merced, California. And that part of California has got a lot of tractors, farm equipment, a lot of dust being blown around. So they have high PM, but they also have high ozone. The two that are not in California are Pittsburgh, still a legacy from their old industrial past, and Cincinnati, pretty industrial parts of Cincinnati, a lot of traffic as well. And so those cities need to do a better job. If they're not better than places like New York or the whole East Coast Corridor, I was surprised nobody on the East Coast Corridor came up. as worst air pollution. We're here in Connecticut, and I know we have bad air days right along that 95 corridor a couple of times during the summer. Every summer we get some high ozone days, but we're not up there with the Cincinnati's or the Californias of the world.
All right, let's go on to the one you wanted to talk about. It's how clean is too clean?
Yes. That refers to triclosan. There is more and more of a stampede towards getting rid of triclosan, but it still is in many products. The problem with triclosan is it looks a lot like a PCB, a polychlorinated biphenyl, or a dioxin. It's this chlorinated multi-ring structure that looks like banned chemicals that we've been trying to get rid of for a long time, but it's now in a lot of soaps. It's even in some toothpaste. It's in mouthwash, certain brands, but fortunately it's on the label. And certain big manufacturers like P&G, like Johnson & Johnson, they are now saying they're going to be phasing triclosan out. Not good for the environment. It's very questionable about human health effects. It's not really that needed. FDA has said it's no better than washing your hands with soap and water in terms of having this antibacterial soap. So if the soap that you're buying says antibacterial on it, it's probably got triclosan in it. Don't need to go there. And it's a potential risk. There was one study done of people, of one guy in a shower. In 5 minutes, he had more triclosan uptake into his body, 8 times more than the baseline level. So it does go through the skin pretty easily. Some of the major hospitals are now getting rid of triclosan from all the sanitizing agents, their scrubs, because they're finding they don't need it, and why expose their staff to it?
Right.
So anyway, look for triclosan on the label and avoid it.
All right, one more to go in the minute we have left, Dr. G. Is there an environmental fingerprint on endometriosis?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't do this justice in the minute. Endometriosis is a huge problem. Millions of women have it, a long-term chronic problem as well. And what this particular study found was that the higher the levels in women's bodies of two banned pesticides, Murex and beta-HCH, you don't know that you're getting these into your body. It's not on any labels. But this comes to people through the diet. Fatty foods, these chemicals have gotten into, even though they've been banned for 25 years, they get into the food chain, end up on our dinner plate if we're eating high-fat foods. So is a high-fat diet bad for endometriosis? Well, maybe. More studies need to be done, but these banned pesticides are estrogenic, and we know that hormonal control is really important to endometrial control. And so it does make some sense.
I understand you're going to hang on through the break and talk to Dr. Mike about an issue Dr. Mike wants to know about a little bit, Dr. Mike, right?
Right, about Fukushima and the radiation. It's hot on the internet, and I wanted to get the definitive word from someone who will know whether we should avoid all West Coast fish or not. So Gary Ginsberg is a great expert and will stay with us. So stay tuned. After the break, we'll talk to him about that first. Before we talk to Dr. Arthur Perry about is bigger better.
All right. And if you've got any comments or questions for Dr. Gary Ginsberg, Dr. Mike, or Dr. Arthur Perry, you can dial up 877-711-5211 or udocs@gmail.com. Always nice to hear from folks listening with any questions that our experts have answers for. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And so Dr. Perry is here, but still we begged and he did us the favor of hanging on. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com, a great website and a great authority. So we got a series of questions, and I need to apologize to people. My udocs@gmail.com has not been working today, but normally we do. But we got a series of questions earlier this week from, I would guess, seven different people asked us the same question. They eat salmon because of our recommendation. They read that cesium is now getting into the fish supply from the West Coast, and they said, do they have to select only Norwegian salmon, or is Alaska salmon that they've got frozen from last year, obviously, is still good, but how about for next year? And so they said, yeah. What about salmon and what about cesium from Fukushima leaking?
Yeah, hi, Mike, again. That's a great question, and we should all be on alert because of the huge amount of radioactivity that is still pouring out of Fukushima, getting into groundwater, and then getting into the Pacific Ocean. And fortunately, it is being monitored not only by Japanese authorities, but also by our own U.S. FDA, looking at fish that are caught from overseas and in the Pacific and being brought to shore. And the levels, fortunately, are hundreds of times less than what is of concern, and sort of still at a background level. We're talking about cesium and also some strontium that could be in the fish, but right now it's at such trace levels and not any higher. And also salmon, of all the species you might want to be worried about, is, you know, not like a big bluefin tuna, which is highly predaceous and is high top predator on the food chain, and where the cesium would accumulate and would be more of a concern. Salmon in the farmed pens, controlled diet, would be much less likely to be affected. So I would say right now it's a theoretical concern. They really need to get their act together in terms of controlling what's coming out of Fukushima, both on top in terms of what's coming out on top of land and also it's getting into the groundwater and into the ocean, because it's huge, massive amounts of radioactivity. But when you talk about the Pacific Ocean, it still is just a drop in the bucket, and it's not really showing up in the fish yet.
Well, that is good news. Thank you for reassuring me and our listeners, and I will reassure them. Arthur has a great story that you might want to hear about, and that is, Arthur, what about doing cosmetics procedures during surgery and cosmetics during pregnancy?
You mean cosmetic procedures and cosmetics during pregnancy, Mike? Yeah, it's a big deal, isn't it? I saw this study, which was in this month's Dermatologic Surgery, Mike, and it's really one of those studies that is hard for me to understand why they even did. And what I'm talking about is they asked the question, are cosmetic surgical procedures safe during pregnancy? And it reminds me of the study, Mike, that came out last year where they took 6,000 people before having Botox, and they did not clean their skin with alcohol. Remember that one?
Yep.
And they said, okay, with that, there's no infection, so you don't need to clean off the skin. And you just shake your head and you say, it's just bizarre. Why would they do that study? Why would you not take 9 seconds and clean off the skin before piercing the skin so you don't drag makeup and dirt and things like that? And this study is sort of the same. But I thought there were some interesting points, Mike. So the question is, of course, should anyone ever consider having cosmetic surgery during pregnancy? First, before we begin, what do you think?
You know, I think the skin should always be cleaned off before cosmetic surgery, and I think you shouldn't have cosmetic surgery or anything in the 3 months prior to pregnancy and during pregnancy.
That's correct, and that is the answer. The only problem is there are so many pregnancies that we don't even, you know, women don't know they're pregnant, and that's where something interesting happens, and that's probably the only valid part of this study, where they looked at women who had Botox, for instance, and incidentally, they found out they were pregnant. You know, well, we wonder about that, but there are plenty of women who go a month or 2 months without knowing that they're pregnant, right?
Yes.
So that's where this study had some validity, and it turns out in this particular study, and it wasn't a scientific study where they actually gave Botox to pregnant women. No, what it really was a study where women who had incidental Botox received it, and then they looked to see whether there were any birth defects. And fortunately, in this very small number of people who got Botox during pregnancy, there were no birth defects. So that's good. That's good, right? We're happy with that.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, what about other procedures? So they looked at various different procedures, and things that we might consider to be pretty benign, like chemical peels. Should they be done during pregnancy? And the answer is, not many of these things have been studied, but over and over in this particular study, the conclusion was, you know, better not, although there's no evidence that these things are harmful in pregnancy. Now, here's what was harmful, Mike, and this is pretty interesting. We know that lidocaine, which is a local anesthetic that's used, is probably, and I capitalize the word probably, okay during pregnancy in small amounts. But what is not okay in pregnancy is something called prilocaine. Prilocaine is an anesthetic that...
Well, but we don't use prilocaine very much anymore. I mean, is prilocaine ever used anymore?
Yes, it's used because it's a combination in the local cream, local anesthetic cream called Emla, E-M-L-A,
right,
that we use all the time now. We use it before Botox injections and before fillers, and I'm sure your colleagues use it on the back of a hand before they start an IV, particularly in children. But the problem with prilocaine is that if it is absorbed into the body, in high doses, it can cause a medical condition called methemoglobinemia, which we won't go into, but it's not a good thing to have, particularly if it's absorbed through mucous membranes like the lips or something like that. So while lidocaine might be okay, prilocaine definitely is not okay during pregnancy. And the same thing with tetracaine, Mike. Tetracaine is one of those anesthetics that probably doesn't get absorbed much in the skin, but if you put it in the eyes, which is what it's used all the time for, or if you put it on the lips, it does get absorbed, and it's not a good thing to have in pregnancy. So those things we shouldn't have. Now, to me, this is a no-brainer. If someone told me they're pregnant, or if I do a pregnancy test and they're positive, I don't do any procedures at all in those women. Certainly, if there was a very bad-looking mole during pregnancy, you have to make a decision, just like any other medical condition, whether or not the risk of operating is justified in a pregnant woman. But for a cosmetic situation, absolutely none. No chance. I wouldn't do it. Then we talk about skin creams. And this is where I get email almost every week, Mike, particularly since I have my own skin creams now. I get emails, is my cream or is Retin-A or any of the Johnson & Johnson products with retinol, are they safe in pregnancy? And that is a great question. And the answer is they are not.
The answer is we'll have to tell you when they come back because we're going to break right now. Come back at you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. We'll take your questions as well as talk about is bigger better. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
Well, Arthur, tell me, what was the answer to that question?
All right, Mike. So the question is, now we all understand that pregnant women should not have cosmetic surgery. But should pregnant women stop using their skin creams? That is a much more important question, I think. And the reason is because so many women are on things that you wouldn't expect would make a difference during pregnancy. So if we look at the retinoids, those are very, very common. They are probably the most important ingredients in skin creams. Retinoids are vitamin A type of drugs. And even though they're in skin creams, and even though you don't need a prescription for most of these things, they can affect your body, and they can affect a fetus. So they did look at these, and there are lots of good studies with these, unlike the cosmetic surgery studies. And the answer is no woman who is pregnant should use any skin cream or any serum that contains vitamin A or anything like vitamin A. Some of those prescription drugs, here's one called tazarotene. Tazarotene, that is a vitamin A. It's kind of like Retin-A. That is absolutely certainly what's called a teratogen. So that causes birth defects. Retinoic acid, which is what is in Retin-A, is a probable but not a certain teratogen. The skin, the substances that are in over-the-counter skin creams, like mine, which is an ester form of of vitamin A, or retinol, which is in Johnson & Johnson products, lots of them, or those type of drugs, and they are drugs, those probably don't get absorbed into the body, but we don't take a chance. We don't take a chance, and my advice to women is nothing with vitamin A, none of those retinoids should be used during pregnancy. Stop them. They also should not be used when lactate. So when you're breastfeeding, the same goes, because these things
so
do get
probably,
into...
So probably the best advice is no skin creams during pregnancy. If you want to use a physical sunblock, that's okay, but nothing other than that.
But well, what if you, need one?
I mean, we can you can use a moisturizer. Women can use a moisturizer if it's a very simple moisturizer that doesn't have active ingredients. It's the active ingredients that we don't want, particularly vitamin A. Vitamin C is okay during pregnancy. There is no issue with vitamin C. Hydroquinone, Mike. Hydroquinone is a pigment fader that many people use, and in the 2% concentration, it's over the counter. In the 4%, it requires a prescription. I could never quite figure that one out, because if you use it all over your body, you're getting a lot more than the 4% that you might use on your face, but, you know, that's the FDA for you. But regardless, hydroquinone is another one that is clearly toxic in some animals, possibly could cause birth defects. And whenever you have the word possibly, you and I know, you just don't do it. You just don't do it. So those are the two big ones that you really need to stay away from, the hydroquinones and the retinoids. Other things like vitamin C, not a big deal. Niacinamide, you know, vitamin B3, also there it does get absorbed. And probably you should stay away from it during pregnancy.
So what can you use?
Well,
are there lines of skin creams that you can use?
Wait a second. You don't need to use anything.
No, you and Mike is correct. You don't need to use anything. If you have dry
chapped skin. Let me just relate that to Bridget, okay? if Bridget needed to use anything, you know, I mean, it's a fake out. You know, she just doesn't need to use anything. Why she would use something and risk the non-natural, not showing the natural beauty she has doesn't make any sense. But women do this all the time. We're going to go. So I'm going to quickly go to the real age tip of the week before I get in any more trouble here. And the real age tip of the week this week is 'tis the season when we all spend more time in roaring traffic and loud restaurants, regular exposure to sound levels above 65 decibels through a loud conversation can up the risk of a heart attack by more than 10%. Louder sounds like vacuum cleaners and garbage disposals bump heart attack risk by 20 to 50%. So wear earplugs or noise cancellation headphones to protect your hearing and your heart, and keep your windows closed in traffic. If you want, shove one of those white things from your iPhone into your ear, but don't turn on the iPhone. Just put it in the ear, even disconnect it from the iPhone, so you can hear it. And that's the real age tip of the week. Sonar, thanks for great engineering. Bridget, for everything you do. And Arthur, if you're still on, now we can go back to Bridget's question, since I misjudged the time so badly. So Bridget's question is there a line of cosmetics specially made for pregnant women?
Yeah, so no. There is no
So
line
this should
of,
give you a special
that,
line.
But not even just cosmetics, just like skin cream.
Yeah. No, there isn't. I think that is so dangerous, Mike. It's so dangerous because in order for you to guarantee that these things are safe in pregnancy, the data that would have to be generated is enormous, as you know, enormous. And in fact, even if it's shown to be safe in animals of all types, you still can't guarantee it's safe in humans during pregnancy. So there is so much liability there, so much liability, that I just think it's not a smart idea. And I, for one, as a developer of skin creams, would not be coming out. I'm not doing it, Mike. I'm not coming out with a line for pregnant women. Sorry. Sorry, women. You'll have to go without your cosmetics, at least your skin creams, during pregnancy and during lactation. So, Bridget, you can start that company if you want the liability.
No, thanks. I would need you and your expertise, and you're not willing.
Well, maybe nope. You can borrow his expertise on the side. But in any case, so for pregnant women, make sure you don't take something that has any of the retinoid geez, any of the retinoic acids with it. And if you're going to take anything, make sure it is has only vitamin C and inert ingredients with it. And I think that should probably be done for 3 months prior, for 3 weeks at least. No, 3 months prior to pregnancy.
That's what I was going to ask. Can that build up? Because I've been on Retin-Aid for a long time. Can that build up?
Yeah, absolutely. That is correct. And Mike is right on the money here. When you're talking about vitamin A's, we do have, unfortunately, a lot of experience with Accutane, which is vitamin E that is eaten. And you don't want to get pregnant for a minimum of 6 months, and I believe it's closer to a year, and some people recommend even longer after using Accutane, because that clearly causes birth defects.
Well, we're going to say goodbye now. Now the timing is right to say goodbye. Tune in next week. Thank you for listening. Sonar, great engineering. Bridget and Arthur for great discussions. We'll be right back in the non-pregnant state next week.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase 2 bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a 3rd bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive 3 bottles of Nighttime for the price of 2.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.